Welcome back. Jack Epling and Dave Benson here. The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Tom Crawford up at Elk Rapids, and we appreciate him joining us at the top of the show. And we'll take your calls for the next few minutes. And we should also have a couple of open line segments in the 10 o'clock hour. 393-3700, 393-3700. If you have a football question for Phil Steele, we may take one of those from a caller and add those to the list for Phil. I hope he's ready. I'm sure he is. And you can also listen live. You just go to 1320WILS.com, wherever you may be. If you are at your cottage or whatever on a Saturday morning and you are not in our listening area, you can follow us through the live streaming now, or you can catch the podcast segments a little bit later, and those will be up within a couple hours after the show. Right, Dave? Something like that. All right. We're going to talk with Dr. John Braccio in just a couple of moments, and then Phil Steele as well a little bit later. And before we get out to our lines, Dave, I wanted to respond to a comment you had just before we interviewed Dan Dickerson about Nigel DeYoung.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hi, well done. Would you just Google that?
Well, I thought, you know, compared to Wesley Snyder and Raphael Vandervant and...
Vandervart.
Vandervart, yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
And is it Denny DeJou?
Huh?
Who has the broken jaw?
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Netherlands midfielder who...
I don't know who that is. I mean, he's not playing, so...
Well, I thought for Spain, you know, Xabi Alonso and Fabregas and... Javi Martinez, those guys, you know, it's really going to have a lot to do with the outcome here. But, you know,
you just
my
named
favorite,
two guys that don't even get off the bench.
But my favorite of all those guys was Silva.
Oh, yeah, David Silva?
Yeah.
Guy that just made the move to Manchester City?
I just thought, you know, the Lone Ranger would like him because he could always yell, "Hi-o, Silva."
I figured.
All right. Let's go out to our phones.
You just named like six bench warmers and like one starter. But well, great job, though.
It's depth. It's
honestly, with both of these teams, yes, it is about depth, Jack.
When Mike Valeni was our producer, and we always used to say that he could tell you the third string fullback for Northern Illinois.
So it's important that you've studied that and you now know how to. Okay, fair enough.
You know, I know Crawford knows more about this stuff than I do, but since he's not.
Well, he's a soccer nut, so it's a little bit different. You just can't get him away from the TV.
Who do we have on the line? Let's go out to our phones. Hello, Randy.
Hey, morning, guys. How you doing?
Great. What's
the
up?
The only thing I know about soccer is Pele. That's about the only thing I can do about it.
Hey, you know what? They had a great show. I mean, a great show. I watched it twice on ESPN, and it was called I Scored a Goal.
Oh, yeah. They've been doing the segments online all the time. Like, it's just like 50 great goals, and they interview the guy that scored them.
They took everyone who's living who scored a goal in the World Cup final.
Wow.
And frankly, I really don't give a rip about
soccer,
as you can tell, but it was really compelling to see what has happened to their lives since then.
Oh, wow. That's something to think about. The one question that I had to ask you guys, and I'll probably be gone when the decision comes out here. I'll be out of town. How bad is this Michigan football team facing sanctions, you guys?
Well, I think the worst is over. I think there may be some tweaking to it. When they go before the NCAA, I don't expect them to get a USC type of punishment. I think what is going to stick with them is the stigma, the fact that they were major violations, that they were caught, and before that, Michigan had always been so squeaky clean, it could always say that it had never had any impropriety. But I think the problem this year for Michigan is not going to be the sanctions. It's going to be keeping people out of the end zone.
Yeah, the defense, my gosh, is so porous. I mean, they're going to have to score 40, 50 points. You said it last year. When was the last time Michigan football team scored 30-some points and lost a game, Jack? And I can't even remember the answer to that one, except for the past few years. But,
they had a couple teams back there in the early 2000s where they gave up a decent amount of points, like that game against Northwestern. What was it, 2003?
54-51.
Yeah.
I remember
back
that.
When,
okay.
Like, Larry Foote was the middle linebacker. So they had a couple pretty shaky defensive backfields.
Yeah, McNabb game and a couple others.
Yeah, a couple of those games they were pretty shaky, but I can see your point. They're usually a strong defensive team.
Too. That's a difference.
Yeah, and I have to agree with you guys, though. I think Michigan's reputation of being squeaky clean being destroyed by these you know, the sanctions and everything, I think that's pretty bad punishment for them to swallow more than anything the NCAA could handle out. Hey, thanks a lot, you guys. Have a great day.
All right, Randy. We'll talk with you soon. Randy is doing some humanitarian work, and I'm very proud of him for that. We'll talk with him more about that in terms of the Gulf in a couple of weeks. Let's go right back out to our phones. We have Don from DeWitt with us. Hello, Don.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Well, doing fine. And, you know, they have this new program, Don, called Spartan Sagas, where they're going to have all these individual Spartan stories at thousands of parties around the country. And I'd like to extend the invitation to you to join me at the party at Crawford's house.
Oh, absolutely.
Tom doesn't know we're coming yet, but we're going to take maybe 15, 20 guys over there and just show up.
I'd love to see the bowels of Crawford Indoor Stadium.
Yeah, I don't want to see the bowels of Crawford, so.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let me know when and where, and I'll bring the party supplies.
Hey, do you have a question for Phil Steele? He's going to be joining us at 10:30.
Yeah. Ask him if he was surprised by the depth of the Southern Cal sanctions and how long he thinks it'll have an effect on him.
Very good question.
And, you know, maybe just ask him about Nick Saban and what he's got going at Alabama.
You know, we're trying to get Mark Ingram on the show, and I think there's a good chance we will be able to do that before the season starts. But, you know, it's funny. Tom always talks about recruiting in Florida and how you can't win in the state of Michigan. Last time I looked, Mark Ingram was the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. And you can do a lot of things. Maybe you don't have the same depth here in the state of Michigan. But if you get the top players, you're going to do pretty well.
Absolutely. Look at that future Spartan linebacking core of Lawrence Thomas, Chris Norman, Will Golston, and Max Bulla.
Right.
And God, how proud that must make Hank. I mean, not only to have had two sons play, follow his legacy as a tough Spartan football stalwart, but then to have a grandkid too, and Max looks like he's going to be a real keeper.
I'll tell you what, there are a couple more Bullas. Riley Bulla, the quarterback on that team, is another excellent player. And maybe you haven't seen the best one yet. You got a guy just coming into high school now who he does it all. I think he scored touchdowns six different ways in one game last year for a ninth grade team.
Oh, man. There is definitely no substitute for good genetics.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, thanks for the call, Don. I appreciate it very much.
Great show, Jack. Thanks.
All right. Let's go back out to the phones, and let's take another call. How about Jim from East Lansing? Hello, Jim.
Good morning, Jack. How are you?
Just fine. You sound great.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I have a question for your college football guru coming up, and that is, would he agree, of course, my assessment doesn't mean much, but would he agree with the assessment that at least I have, that Michigan State might have the best receiving corps in the nation this year? When you look at their tight ends and their wide receivers.
Right.
I really, really think that's pretty hard to beat.
Well, certainly as deep as any when you throw the tight ends in there. I don't know that they have the star power.
I was about to say, I think if you look at a team like Alabama with somebody like Ula Jones and the depth that they have, I think somebody like that might be a little bit more solid.
Right.
But, yeah, from a depth point of view, number one through number five, they're about as talented.
I think to have the best core in the nation, Jim, you have to have a guy who demands double coverage. And I don't know that Michigan State has that now. Now, during the course of the season, they may say, hey, you have to do that to Keyshawn Martin or whoever it may be.
That's a possibility.
But they just have so many different options, so many weapons, that if Michigan State can run the ball effectively, and I think it'll run the ball better, this is going to be a very difficult offense to stop.
Had one other question for you.
Yeah.
Kind of taps into your historical knowledge, which I know is excellent, but yesterday we were coming back from the western part of the state, and we were approaching the little town of Fenville, and I said to my wife, this is the home of the guy who was voted by some of the Detroit papers years ago, not too many years ago, as the number one high school player in the history of Michigan basketball, not what he did in college and so forth.
High school, Richie Jordan.
Yeah, Richie Jordan. And I was going to ask you, I believe, didn't he come to Michigan State, but he didn't really play much because he was small? Is that true?
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of had Milt Coleman syndrome, although Milt turned into an excellent receiver. But
right.
He wasn't used maybe a way some people thought, but he was an amazing guy, and for that height to be able to get up and dunk the ball and do all the things he did, those who saw Richie Jordan play high school say he was definitely one of the five best players in Michigan high school history. Jim, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
We will be back. We're going to talk with Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com. We'll have a little bit of open line. And Phil Steele, the guru of college football, will join us in just a moment. We'll be right back on the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. Worsening this weekend, the Gulf oil spill as BP switches one containment cap for another.
The new cap is designed to provide a tighter fit over the jagged cut in the well pipe and then funnel the leaking oil to tankers on the surface. If all goes according to plan, the new system, in theory, could stop any additional oil from leaking into the Gulf from that well by as early as Monday. But during the process, while the caps are being switched out, oil will gush virtually unchecked for about 48 hours. National Incident Commander Admiral Thad Allen approved BP's plan, saying the long-term oil containment will be far greater than what the current system is capable of. In Grand Isle, Louisiana, Jonathan Seri, Fox News Radio.
After testing roughly 400 samples of Gulf seafood, the federal government saying it's safe to eat. Flooding in the Texas border town of Laredo described as
catastrophic. It's terrible right here, right now.
The Rio Grande expected to crest another 2 feet to more than 55 feet, flooding in Oklahoma, claiming at least three lives. Six U.S. military deaths today in southern and eastern Afghanistan. NATO saying one service member was killed by small arms fire, another